Hello, welcome to a new edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio. We are airing this program via WRMI, Miami Radio International, and the show is also available as a podcast via our website, rai.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you this weekly edition of our show in English that will include a news summary of the week, focusing on Argentina and Latin America, and also the latest chapter of a regular classic segment, the DX Supplement, with information that is relevant to DXers, radio hams, to anyone who's got an interest in radio listening, in shortwave radio listening, a classic feature of Rai Argentina to the World that is produced by Arnaldo Slayen, and it's going to be part of this week's show that is aired on Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2021. Let me remind you that you can contact us if you want to send a message or a reception report in case you are a DXer and want to receive a QSL card. Send your report, and if it's accurate, we'll reply with a digital QSL card. Send it by email to qslrai@gmail.com. I repeat, qslrai@gmail.com. Okay, folks, let's get started with the news. These are the headlines. More than 200,000 doses of the Sputnik V vaccine arrived in the country. The Peruvian capital Lima was placed in mandatory lockdown, while the black market for oxygen tubes grows in Mexico. Argentina introduces a tax on large fortunes to raise funds to fight the pandemic. Argentina expressed concern about the situation in Myanmar after the coup d'etat. The Patagonian area of El Bolsón suffered the worst forest fire in its history, according to local authorities. Sports. Palmeiras won the Brazilian final of the Libertadores Cup and defeated Santos 1-0 to become champions of the continent for the second time in their history. And here are the news. The vaccination campaign continues in Argentina with the Sputnik V vaccine, which is developed by the Gamaleya Institute of Russia. An Aerolíneas Argentinas plane brought from Moscow last week 220,000 doses for our country, in addition to 20,000 doses for Bolivia. The shipment arrived shortly before medical journal The Lancet published a report according to which Sputnik V is safe and has an effectiveness of over 91%. Regarding the inoculation, Argentine President Alberto Fernández spoke by teleconference at the Davos Economic Forum and said, "Vaccines must be a global public good." He stated this after the World Health Organization assured that 10 countries monopolize more than 90% of the world's vaccine in a context of shortages and delays by pharmaceutical companies in the deliveries they agreed with the states. Due to the pandemic, Argentina will remain in a state of mandatory social distancing, known in the country as DISPO, until February 28. A DISPO involves a series of restrictions to curb the spread of coronavirus and is more flexible than the state of isolation known as ASPO. The prohibition of mass gatherings and compliance with sanitary protocols in all areas of the country remain in force. The novelty of this extension of the DISPO is that the reopening of schools is enabled according to the criteria established by each of the country's 24 provinces. Let us remember that the teachers' unions are resisting a return to the classrooms with 100% attendance, as, for example, the government of the city of Buenos Aires is planning for February 17. According to educators' unions, due to the state of deterioration in many schools, it is not possible to guarantee social distancing and hygiene standards to avoid infections. Groups of parents, in turn, according to local media, are planning to file an injunction in courts in order to guarantee the attendance of all students, regardless of any health criteria. It also came into force an order to airlines to reduce their flights to and from areas which are considered to be at risk due to the pandemic, 30% for flights to and from the US, Mexico and Europe, and 50% to and from Brazil. Likewise, the closure of land borders for non-resident foreigners continues. On the other hand, Amnesty International warned that it will turn to international groups if the Argentine government does not intervene in Formosa. In that province, according to some denunciations, abuses are being committed in the framework of the fight against COVID-19, especially in isolation centers for positive and suspected cases. This past Tuesday, Amnesty representatives were received by Cabinet Chief Santiago Cafiero, who assured them that the situation is being closely monitored. Last week, the Secretary of Human Rights, Horacio Pietragala, traveled to the northeastern district of Argentina in order to verify the denunciations. "We were able to detect some isolated cases, but we cannot speak of systematic violations of human rights nor of clandestine detention centers," was the official's assessment after the visit. 10 regions in Peru have been placed under a strict lockdown until at least February 14 in order to contain a new wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. The measure includes the capital Lima and the city of El Callao, which account for almost half of the population in the South American nation of nearly 32 million people. For 2 weeks, residents will only be able to leave their homes to make essential purchases. The government of President Fernando Sagasti resolved this closure after a sharp increase in daily average infections, which rose from about 1,600 in December to 5,600 in January. In this context, Mr. Sagasti announced his country will soon begin vaccination thanks to the World Health Organization's COVAX program that will provide 35 million doses to Latin American nations. In Peru, there is also a shortage of oxygen tubes, which are necessary to assist the most seriously ill COVID patients. Last week, it was reported that many people queue for up to 3 days in the street to refill their tanks and help their sick relatives. In Mexico, the lack of oxygen has generated an increase of up to 700% in its price, and for that reason, a black market has also arisen, which authorities claim to be fighting. In Mexico also, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador continues to recover favorably from COVID while performing his duties in isolation, according to official sources. Chile, in turn, will relaunch its vaccination campaign thanks to the purchase of 4 million doses from the Chinese laboratory Sinopharm. Meanwhile, in Brazil, the Catholic Church has denounced President Jair Bolsonaro for mismanagement of the pandemic. With more than 220,000 victims, it is the country with the highest number of coronavirus deaths in the world, surpassed only by the US. The Bishops' Conference of Brazil raised the matter before the United Nations and the World Health Organization for an attitude that, according to them, is contradictory, denialist, and indifferent to the people's pain. The Bishops' document highlights that of every 10 deaths caused by COVID in the world, one of the victims is Brazilian. Meanwhile, in Bolivia, doctors in the city of Santa Cruz de la Sierra went on strike for 24 hours to demand that authorities impose a strict lockdown to curb infections. All in all, the new US President Joe Biden has signed a decree to make the use of face masks mandatory in all means of public transportation. The measure includes airplanes, trains, subways, buses, cabs, and ferries, and it will also be enforced in ports and airports. In Argentina, the tax on large fortunes that seeks to raise funds for the fight against the coronavirus pandemic came into force this week. The tax was created by a law passed by Congress at the end of 2020 and was regulated by Norm in a presidential decree issued last week. It reaches those who have a personal wealth of more than 200 million pesos, which is the equivalent to a little more than $2 million. According to official sources, out of more than 40 million inhabitants in Argentina, only 12,000 people will pay this tax, which will be charged only once. According to the regulation, the tax is 3.5% for assets in Argentina and 5.5% for assets located abroad. Although it targets individuals and not companies, lobbies such as the Argentine Rural Society have expressed their rejection of the new tax and fear that it will become a permanent tax rather than extraordinary. The Argentine Industrial Union also criticized the tax and described it as confiscatory and stated it discourages investments. On the other hand, a British NGO, Oxfam, praised the tax during their presentation at the Davos Economic Forum. The entity from the UK presented a report at Davos that is called The Inequality Virus, in which they denounced that the pandemic has deepened social and economic inequalities in the world. For Oxfam, countries should raise taxes on the wealthiest, as Argentina recently did. The government claims that the tax will raise approximately $3 billion that will be used for buying medical supplies and for paying assistance to medium and small-sized companies, and will also fund student scholarships, among other purposes. In other economic news, Argentina cancelled a maturity of $315 million with the International Monetary Fund. This payment this week was made while Buenos Aires is negotiating the final details of an agreement to pay off the total debt with the IMF of $44 billion. The Argentine Foreign Ministry issued a statement expressing concern about the situation in Myanmar following the military coup that overthrew the democratic government in that Southeast Asian country. In the official message, Buenos Aires expressed concern about the arrests of President Win Myint, State Councillor and Nobel Peace Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi, and other political leaders. In addition, it demands that the results of the elections of last November 8 be respected, which, according to the military, were fraudulent. These accusations were the justification used by the army to regain power in the former Burma, which has been under a dictatorship for most of the last half century. It should be noted that the leader of the coup, General Min Aung Hlaing, was indicted in an Argentine court for crimes against humanity in November 2019. He is accused of genocide against the Rohingya Muslim minority in the Rakhine state, a crime that had happened in 2017. This is a case that was also brought before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. The complaint was filed in a Buenos Aires court by several human rights organizations, among them the famous Mothers of Plaza de Mayo. In addition to the military, the now ousted civilian government is accused of covering up the forced exodus of the Rohingya in the case that was opened in Argentina. Back then, Ms. Suu Kyi herself had defended the armed forces of her country when the case came to light, although she acknowledged back then that there may have been excessive use of force. A forest fire in the area surrounding El Bolsón in northern Patagonia destroyed almost 7,000 hectares of wild forests. Bruno Pogliano, mayor of that city in the province of Río Negro, assured that this is the greatest environmental and ecological loss in El Bolsón's history. The damage is beyond repair, he said, since among the burned trees there were 300-year-old lingas and cypresses over 100 years old. 6 people have been charged for this natural disaster, accused of not having properly extinguished the fire they had lit for having a barbecue. According to investigators, the embers these people left behind caused the fire, which still could not be controlled despite the rains of last weekend. In other environmental news, 3 jaguars were released in the wildlife reserve of the Ibera wetlands in the province of Corrientes. This species had disappeared from the area due to poaching during the 20th century. But the Rewilding Argentina Foundation is leading a repopulation project with specimens brought from Brazil. Thus, a female named Juruna gave birth to 2 cubs last January that were discovered by the conservationist teams working in the wetlands. The news was celebrated online by American actor and environmental activist Leonardo DiCaprio. On his Instagram account, the Oscar winner congratulated Rewilding, the governments of Argentina and Corrientes, and the people of Corrientes for this achievement in the reintroduction of an iconic species in Ibera. And finally for the news, sports. The Brazilian final of the Copa Libertadores went to Palmeiras, that defeated Santos 1-0 at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. After 90 minutes of regulation time, which ended without goals, the match was extended for an extra 30 minutes. 8 minutes into extra time, Breno scored the only goal of the game. Palmeiras, from the city of São Paulo, thus won its second Libertadores after its first cup in 1999. The Brazilians travel now to Qatar next week to play in the club's World Cup with the champions of each continent. In addition to Palmeiras, Bayern Munich of Germany, Tigres of Mexico, Ulsan Hyundai of South Korea, Al Ahly of Egypt and Al Duhail of Qatar are also taking part in this competition. There will be no representative from Oceania since the New Zealand champions, Auckland City, pulled out from the cup because of COVID. In other sporting news, Platense returned to the first category of Argentine football after an absence of more than 20 years. The team from Vicente López, in the northern part of the greater Buenos Aires, defeated Estudiantes de Río Cuarto on penalties 4-2 in the final of a promotion tournament. And these were the news, brought to you by RAI, Argentina to the world. Well, we bring you now our regular DX supplement, the weekly segment that focuses on news regarding DXing, short waves, radio hams. It's a classic segment of RAI Argentina to the world that we bring you once a week. It's produced by our good friend and collaborator Arnaldo Slain. And we're going to begin this week's edition with a story coming from the US regarding a fellow shortwave radio station operating in that country, the Voice of America, that recently marked its 79th anniversary this week on February the 1st. Its beginnings date back to World War II, 1942, and the first stage was pretty modest, a 15-minute radio newscast targeting Germany, which was aired from a small studio in New York City. At present, VOA is a US government-funded but editorially independent news organization that reaches more than 280 million people worldwide each week in more than 40 languages. Its stories, covering events in the US and around the world, appear on radio, TV and digital platforms and are accessible from cell phones and social media. VOA News is carried by a network of more than 2,500 affiliated stations. On the first broadcast back in 1942, within weeks of America's entrance into the war, listeners first heard the American patriotic song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Back then, announcer William Harlan said, "We are bringing you Voices of America. Today and daily from now on, we will tell you about America and about the war. The news may be good, the news may be bad for us, but we will always tell you the truth." This, what Mr. Harlan said back then on that first transmission, is a core principle that since 1976 has been embedded in the Charter of the Voice of the Americas, which by law requires the organization to consistently serve as a reliable and trustworthy source of news. The charter says VOA news must be truthful, objective, and comprehensive. The Voice of America is part of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, the government agency that oversees all non-military U.S. international broadcasts. Okay, now we move on to more countries in the Americas. Peru now. A comprehensive initiative to bring education to rural and indigenous communities in the provinces of Maina and Loreto, Nauta, is underway and is being promoted by the Catholic Church, the bishops of Iquitos, in order to improve access to remote education for children and young people in Loreto. This effort is pushed by the Peruvian Ministry of Education through the Learning at Home program, together with the Regional Bureau of Education of Loreto. As the Amazonian Center for Anthropology and Practical Application says on its website, Loreto was one of the first regions to be hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic in Peru, and is one of the most affected by lockdown measures, leaving thousands of school children that live in remote areas and whose homes do not have access to internet, a television or a radio, without access to education. According to information provided by the Regional Education Bureau of Loreto, only 52% of the school's population in the region has access to remote education options, any kind of option. In view of this situation, and in order to expand access to these programs and provide material for teachers, parents, and students in the far-off communities of the region, the Iquitos Church is upgrading the transmitter of the radio station of the Apostolic Vicariate, which is called the Voice of the Jungle. The station is called the Voice of the Jungle, La Voz de la Selva. It also, thanks to donations, about 2,500 radio receivers are being manufactured and will be distributed to households in the area, homes that have no financial means or even have no access to electricity. The goal is to give out some 7,000 radio receivers before the start of the school year. Radio receivers will be eco-friendly, that is, they will be made of recyclable material and will have built-in solar panels and rechargeable batteries, which will significantly enhance their use. They will not depend on batteries and will not pollute the Amazonian basin, explained Monsignor Miguel Fuentes of Iquitos in an interview with the news agency of the Peruvian Episcopal Conference, the ANSEP. Let's continue talking about education, radio, and the pandemic in the continent. But now, focusing on Bolivia. The school year in that country began last Monday, February the 1st, but without face-to-face lessons, and only teaching through internet, radio, and television. According to the ministry's plans, remote teaching will be done from educational platforms on the internet in cities where there is access to the network. But in rural, far-off areas, education and learning will be done through state radio and television. At the beginning of January, the Ministry of Education had decided that learning would be held at a distance or online and decided to suspend face-to-face learning due to coronavirus, which has caused more than 216,000 infections and over 10,000 deaths in this country of 11.5 million. The BTB channel and Radio Illimani, both public media, will broadcast educational content in the morning and afternoon for different levels. Only small towns where there is no risk of contagion of coronavirus and with prior official authorization, students will be allowed to go to school. We remind you that Radio Illimani operates on the short waves on the frequency of 6025 kHz in the 49-meter band. And now we travel to the warmth of the Caribbean Sea to pay a radio visit to Cuba. World Radio Day, which was proposed by UNESCO and approved by the UN since 2012, is dedicated this year to international broadcaster Radio Havana Cuba. This day, scheduled to be marked every February 13, highlights the role of radio as a powerful medium to celebrate mankind in all its diversity. At the global level, the United Nations states on its website, radio continues to be the most widely consumed medium, and at the local level, broadcasters must serve diverse communities, offering a wide variety of programs, points of views, and content, reflecting the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations. According to information issued by the Cuban Association of the United Nations, Radio Havana Cuba stands out within the Cuba radio universe for the quality of its content and its history, which began 60 years ago. And finally, Mexico. The Plenary of Federal Telecommunications has decided to grant three new concessions for indigenous social use to provide FM radio broadcasting services in the states of Oaxaca, Tabasco, and Michoacán. With these grants, the IFT has granted a total of 19 radio broadcasting concessions for the operation of radio stations for the indigenous communities. The rights of them to access ways of expressing their ideas as well as receiving timely information are enshrined in the Mexican Constitution. With these actions, the IFT continues its work in favor of the country's indigenous communities, so that their inhabitants, through radio, have access to cultural and educational content so they can further exercise their rights. And with this, we come to the end of this week's edition of the DX Supplement, produced by Arnaldo Slain. And it's sign of time now for our weekly show in English here at RAI Argentina to the World. My name is Fernando Farias. Hope you enjoyed this week's program that you can listen via WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also download as a podcast from our website, rai.com.ar. Remember, if you want to contact us, if you want to send that reception report, send it via email to qslri@gmail.com. Okay, that's all. Thank you for listening. Take care and hasta la próxima.